Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. We are real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all. I just told you who I thought I was. A guy.
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish.
I get down for my grandfather who took my mama and made her sit in that seat where white folks didn't want us to eat. At the tender age of 6, she was arrested at the sit-in. And with that in my blood, I was born to be different. Now niggas can't make it to ballot to choose leadership, but we can make it to Jacobs and to the dealership. I swear I hear new music. I just don't be feeling it. Racism's still alive. They just be concealing it.
Hey, what up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Book of Yay podcast. I'm Chris Daniels with my man, Rob Hayes.
Rob Hayes right here, man. Woo!
Man, you guys didn't see that, but it took Rob the most times ever to nail that verse.
yo. I don't know the lyrics to Bring Me Down. Like, I was reading them like, that's what he said. Like, I got the gist.
I guess that is what he said. Wow.
But when that song comes on, I'm normally like, down, never let me down. Like, that's me. That's my part.
Yeah. Oh, man. What's going on?
We've been on a strange journey since the last time we did the podcast. Let's see, we had the rally, right? Mm-hmm. Kanye rally for president. He had petitions to get on the ballot in South Carolina. Did not get enough people to sign the petition, so he's not on the ballot. He is on the ballot in Oklahoma. Let's see. After the rally, Kanye goes on Twitter. There's a whole lot. He calls Kris Jenner a white supremacist. No one takes issue. Black people are not like, wait a minute. White people are not like, wait a minute. White supremacists are not like, hey, wait one second. Yeah. She is not one of us. Nah. No one said anything about that. No one. That might be like, the least controversial thing you said.
People just kept scrolling. They just scrolled past it. Just like, where's the good stuff?
I don't know. There were reports this weekend that Kanye was in the hospital. He apologized to Kim because he said that Kim was trying something about Kim and putting, like, he wants to divorce Kim, and they put North in Playboy, or they wanted to put North in Playboy, and it's white supremacy.
It was a lot. I mean, let's just take it step by step, because I'm trying to think of it.
There was a thing with Meek Mill.
Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to think of it from, like, the end of our last episode we did with Nick, and it was just when, like, the presidential stuff was, like, I guess it's real. You don't really know. And then here's...
Yeah, the Forbes article had just came out. So the last time we met, a Forbes article came out. And then, oh yeah, your birthday. Is that when the rally happened?
I think the birthday was the day the tweet started. So it might have been like the day, like right after or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your birthday was on Sunday, right?
Right. Your boys entered the 30 realm.
Yeah, now you're in your 30s.
Counting those grays. Not yet, though. Oh, man. You got that same stuff LeBron got in his beard. You seen it?
Come on, man. I'm in the game, though. I'm about to get a strike.
You about to do it from Gremlins?
Hmm?
Like from Gremlins?
Yeah. Like the Gremlins. So yeah, man, I think that, you know, I think that there needs to be a conversation about what's the appropriate way us as the people should deal with what's going on. Like, clearly there are cries for help. Clearly something is wrong with somebody that, like, we care about and we enjoy what they do and everything. But at the same time, like, Google alerts, like, you know, like, I constantly get texts. When there's a Kanye rant, I constantly get texts like, hey, did you see what's happening? What's up with your man? What's going on? And, you know, what's the best thing to do? Do we ignore it? Do we, like, you know, like, it's almost like I don't want to say we shouldn't even be paying attention, because then, you know, but at the same time, I don't know. It's tough.
I think that's a good way of phrasing the question, because, like, how you handle it, obviously, it's an individual thing, but I do think it's tough in a standpoint, because everybody is so far, like, we're just so conditioned at this point. You know, we put a lot of stock into not just, like, celebrities, because some celebrities, I'm like, you don't need to be putting stock in this person. But some people, like, you know, have been real pivotal in like, how the culture moves, how people have come up. You know, it's been 16 years of, like, 17 years, really, of, like, you know, Kanye being a part of, like our consciousness. You know what I'm saying? Like, in some way, he's had an effect, good or bad. So it's not always so simple to just be like, do you just ignore it? Because if you're thinking about it and if you feel something, that's going to have an effect on you. I think that when it comes to, like, what people do, I just think it's more so important to not get so jaded to the point, you know, we ignore, like, the seriousness stuff just for, like, headlines and just sensationalism. Because at the end of the day, like, I'd be disappointed, but I'd be, like, more sad than anything about, like, the way stuff gone down.
I mean, you know, it's like, Chappelle went out to Wyoming, and it's got to feel good that, like, the greatest comedian in the world, and people still go up to him and be like, hey, man, say something funny.
Oh, man.
It was so awkward. You know, he was there to check on him, and it's like, but, you know, comedians can't be humans. You got, you know, dance.
Chappelle risked COVID for that. He's like, he's like, I'm going to leave my farm and go to your farm. It's like, tell me a joke.
He probably flew private, and, you know, they're probably the most safest arrangements made, I would imagine.
I mean, still, but still,
Dame Dash has been out there. Justin Bieber has been out there. If you're gonna be worried about anybody, it's got to be the Biebs.
Oh yeah, I feel like the hair alone, I don't know, he just looks dirtier as he got older.
And we were promised the album. And y'all gotta chill. Y'all people gotta chill.
Who?
The people who everything he tweets, they respond to it like, yeah, but where's the album? Like, the man is literally having a breakdown.
Did he? I mean,
I don't care. I don't care how many track lists we see, how many drawings we see. I don't care. Clearly something is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not that type of fan. Where I want, first of all, I want the album when it's done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, you know, like all this, like, y'all give us the album. He'll just give you whatever he got so far and then go back and fix it a couple times. I don't even know.
I would ask it, like, at this, I'm like, do you think now, like, you want it right now? You think this is the best time? You think it's going to be at the best quality right now?
And Dr. Dre is working on an album, and you know Dr. Dre and Deadlines don't go together. We've been waiting on Detox Kanye's whole career. Detox and Late Registration was supposed to come out around the same time, you know? But see, that's how powerful weed is. You can't get off of it. That's why Detox is never coming out, because Dr. Dre is never going to quit smoking weed. Think about it. You know what I'm saying? It might just be a joke. Detox might just be a joke. It might not have ever been real. Yeah. It might have been like, oh, yeah, after the Chronic 2001, of course it's Detox. But it's like, no, you know.
Or you just keep finding more excuses to not, like, to just not go to the studio. If Snoop and DMX want to do a versus, I can't work on it today. Because
Dr. Dre don't even want to do a Versus.
Oh, hell
this will
no.
be him
oh,
and Diddy. No. Did you watch a Versus Snoop Dogg and DMX?
I didn't watch all of it, but I did see some of it. Yeah. I think because I didn't even know it was happening at the time. But when I came in, I was worried at first because I was excited. It was cool to just see him in there doing a thing. But I was like, man, somebody needs to bring out, you know, like that oxygen tank they do for like when a lineman returns like a fumble for a touchdown. That's what I wanted somebody to give DMX. I was like, somebody give him that O2 tank.
DMX was tired, but it was good to see him and good to see him perform his joints. Like he could have just sat there while they was playing, yeah. But you know, it's like, and you know, when Who We Be was playing, mm-hmm. I forgot how dope that song was. Like, I forgot, like, you know, it's one thing when you like go through and play the songs you like, but if somebody just like, it's something else when you just don't even know and it just hits you, you know, and like a lot of the Snoop stuff was from Doggy Style, which I was expecting him to do more of the whole spectrum of his career, and like he definitely like right. hit like the right. Doggy Style stuff heavy. But I feel like as an MC, he felt like this is when my pen was the strongest. You know, like there's stuff on the Blue Carpet Treatment that's written by the DOC. You know, like the Chronic and Doggy Style is like that's Snoop Dogg's pen, and that's some of his best stuff. Mm. So I thought that was dope. Hey man, New Yorkers gotta chill, man. DMX lost that. I don't care. I don't care where you're from. I don't care who you are. I don't care what Snoop Dogg played. DMX did not win that. Even if you want to say it's a tie, you can say it's a tie. Because Snoop got about 8 or 9 joints that he didn't play that could go in a Versus. He didn't play Sexual Eruption. He didn't play I Wanna Rock. He didn't play, like, it was a bunch of stuff where it was like, Snoop could have, you know.
You're going to have to give New Yorkers the W just for having DMX show up and show out and last the whole time.
It's Swiss's platform. Of course he was going to show up. And I love DMX, and it was great. It was great. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? DMX is mm-hmm. is an emo kid that just grew up in a different situation, you know? You think about it, he named himself Dark Man X. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the kid. He would have been the kid that shopped at Hot Topic, but you know, he was just in a different part of the world where you couldn't do that. You already know DMX would have been a belt chain kid all day, but he just, you know, just at a different time. If DMX was like now, come on, man.
Oh, you talking who's the fucking Tentacion? You think he's close to that lane? I can see the energy.
But yeah, man, y'all Ye fans, y'all gotta chill, man. You know, y'all really out here pressuring a man for, you know, pressuring a man for an album, and it's like, you know, we lost too many people too early for us to put pressure on. You know, we'll get it when we get it.
Do you even want it?
I'm cool because I haven't really got into Ye and Jesus is King like that. So I'm cool. Like, if you want to take a break, I'm cool. If you want to put out something that's going to, like, blow me out the water, that's fine. But I don't, you know, I will listen to Late Registration for the rest of my life. I will listen to Graduation right. for the rest of my life. I will listen to Watch the Throne for the rest of my life. You know, it's like, How many classics are you gonna have? How many albums you gonna have where somebody's like, man, I'm never throwing that out. You know what I'm saying? I'm never not listening to that. Like, you know, so I'm curious, and I would love for like him to have the depth and some of the like the feelings that I had, you know, listening to Yeezus for the first time. But at the same time, you know, I don't enjoy it, you know, like sounds that feel like a Kanye sound, but the words, the intent, everything just feeling different, you know?
Yeah.
But I've never had a relationship with an artist like this. I've never been a fan of somebody through the whole thing. So I'm like, you know, where I've seen them from the beginning. So this is a new part of, you know, like I always wondered, like, if I listened to Prince when he first came out, would I have rode with, like, everything? You know what I'm saying? Or like Michael Jackson. Like, today I tried to listen to Blood on the Dance Floor, and I was like, yeah, I can't do it, you know? Just, I don't, you know, I was on a long journey. I was in the thought process, what if Blood on the Dance Floor came out on Death Row? Would the whole world be different? Because it's called Blood. All right, never mind.
I don't know where you're going, man.
I'm just saying, though. You know what I'm saying? If Suge Knight put out Blood on the Dance Floor, do you think, like, would the whole world be different?
Probably.
Come on, man. Everybody talk about Chris Brown is the first gangster, you know what I'm saying, R&B artist. Come on, man. Blood on the Dance Floor. and Michael Jackson was with the Crips in The Way You Make Me Feel. You know what I'm saying? He had the blue on. They had the blue flags. They was humping the ground. So,
Is that a Crip move?
I'm not gonna say. I'm just gonna say Snoop Dogg won that first, and I'm just gonna leave it right there. Yo, what do you think about Bow Wow saying that he wanted to do a versus against Fab, but since Fab already did it, he can't do a versus now. And Bow Wow saying that he can't do a versus against Soulja Boy because they make different types of music.
Oh, that's a cop out.
Come on, man.
First of all, we all know who, like, isn't the logical, like, real choice, I guess, for the fandom, Romeo.
Yeah, Bow Wow and Romeo. Like, although I don't want to hear them talk for an hour and a half.
Oh no, but like.
I would love to hear Soulja Boy and Bow Wow talk for an hour and a half.
I would love if Soulja Boy and Bow Wow had a versus battle. And I wouldn't even mind if, like, Bow Wow had internet issues. I'd be like, oh, this is still good. Like, this is still good with just Soulja Boy.
I used to like Soulja Boy's YouTube channel. Soulja Boy used to be an entertaining guy. He still is an entertaining guy. And the internet wants Usher versus Chris Brown.
I thought the internet wanted Usher versus Justin Timberlake. Actually, no, I thought they said that probably wouldn't. I think that people said it wouldn't be competitive, but I disagree.
Competitive for who?
A lot of people say, like, Usher would just automatically, like, wash Justin Timberlake. I'm not saying he wouldn't win, but I don't think it's a wash.
In high school, I was always arguing Justin Timberlake over Usher. This is when Justify was out, right? Uh-huh. Just because it was a fun argument. But, you know, as we go along and, like, Justin Timberlake got into it with Jesse Williams and, you know, it's kind of awkward to take the Justin Timberlake side. And also, putting in context what happened with Janet Jackson, it's just kind of like, I can't really go for that, you know?
But remove context, though. If you just go with the hits.
It's competitive.
That's what I'm saying.
It's competitive. Because they both take long breaks. So even though their careers span a long time, you know, it's like My Way is like 98, 8701. 3 years later, Confessions, 3 years later. You know what I'm saying? And like Justin Timberlake's the same thing. It's like Justified and then Future Sex Love Sounds, like 4 year gap. You know what I'm saying? And then 2020. Might be another 3 or 4 years. So yeah, no. I think that's actually a pretty even match. I think JT probably is better at trash talk than Usher. You know, I think Usher probably will have better stories or stories that I would care about more. But maybe not. I don't know.
Justin got Neptune stories.
Justin has Neptune stories and Justin plays instruments. So some of that, you know, like Justin might play a song and be like, oh, I played the drums on this song. And then what is Usher going to say?
I don't know.
I dance out of my shoes.
Well, that's the thing.
Cell phone in French.
That's the thing he got. Because like if Usher stand up, you know what I'm saying? Justin can't keep up with that. That's the one thing. But I don't think.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think. I'm not sure if that's where Versus is going. Chris Brown might. That would give him some trouble, but it's tough.
Me and my girlfriend did a Usher versus Chris Brown
Yeah, the mock battle.
Yeah, and Chris Brown killed Usher. But we did unlimited rounds.
Killed, like, where did
like we didn't stop at 20. Okay. And it, and like Chris Brown has a lot.
All right, let me ask you this, cuz I think where did he start to like pull away? Like when where did you get,
it
to,
was
the
just,
point? You get to the point? Where he's like,
I don't know. We went for like, this was like hours. This is like some quarantine stuff. Like I ended up playing the U-Turn by Usher. And I ended up playing Pop Your Collar.
God.
Have you ever heard that? Did that make it to Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it didn't make it on the album, so I didn't know if you guys got Pop Your Collar.
It's not a good song.
Not a good song.
No.
But is it
I don't think it's streamable.
Is it because Chris Brown got more like club songs? Is that it?
Yeah, Chris Brown has more club songs, more like just more songs that like shelf life. Like mm-hmm. I think, you know, but part of that is we played Confessions so much when it came out that, you know, we don't really like, we play Confessions so much when it came out that we don't really like think about some of those songs, you know. But yeah, I think Chris Brown's first album, I don't know. I think it would be fun. I think it would be dope. But I think Chris Brown might get Usher.
But in 20 songs, like if you keep it versus rules, in 20 songs, does Usher still win?
20 songs is probably an even match.
Okay. I don't know. I don't need Usher, but like I get where you're going. Cause like you say like we weren't just playing Confessions. Like it was Confessions like from the beginning, no skips. Just straight through. That's tough. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Once I got in the Confessions bag, it was kind of a wrap. You know. Have I ever said on here what my dream versus is?
I feel like you did when we like first jumped back, but I don't remember. Does it involve Pharrell or no?
No.
Who is it?
Boyz II Men versus Jodeci / KC and JoJo.
That's the dream versus?
Dream versus.
Yeah. They match up so well. Anything, any Boyz II Men song, there's a Jodeci or KC and JoJo song that could go right against it.
I buy that. What has been the R&B versus so far? Is it only the Babyface?
112 baby versus
Jagged
Edge.
Okay.
Yeah. Jonte Austin versus Neo.
Didn't the Dream do one?
The Dream versus Sean Garrett.
Okay. Oh yeah, that was one. Sean Garrett was
and Teddy Riley and Babyface. I want this Keisha Cole versus Ashanti to happen. No clue what they would be like in a conversation with each other. I don't know, like, Erykah Badu and
Jill
Scott.
Okay.
But I have no clue what, like, I don't even know what Ashanti is like talking that long. You know what I'm saying? Like what her personality would be like song 14. You know what I'm saying? And Keisha Cole, I don't know. She's like the way she deals with OT Genesis, I don't really know how, you know what I'm saying? Can she take a joke? So
I'm taking Ashanti.
That would be interesting. Yeah, no, I think once Ashanti starts playing like Ain't It Funny and I'm Real by J-Lo, it's like, all right, Keisha, like, what did you write?
Only one of them got songs in Coach Carter. That's what I'm siding with.
Only one of them's in Coach Carter.
She did a song for Coach
and
Carter.
And you're not going to act like Keisha Cole doesn't have a song on the Step Up soundtrack.
Which Step Up? The first one?
The original. Keisha Cole put Channing Tatum on, basically.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. I don't even remember this at all.
I don't remember this at all.
Her and Sean Paul, Give It Up To Me?
Oh.
Yeah. That actually right. might go in the verses.
All right. That actually beats Coach Carter's song.
Yeah, I don't, what is this Coach Carter song?
I just know there's a song. And I was like, I'm sure like that would pull it some strings.
Ashanti was in Coach Carter.
She was in Coach Carter.
Her better soundtrack song would be What's Love on the Juana Man soundtrack.
I don't think people think of that when they think of Juana Man, huh?
That is, what are you talking about? That Fat Joe and Ashanti, What's Love? Like, that's a way better basketball movie song than whatever song you're looking up right now.
I wonder if I'm making this up. We got to get back to the Kanye stuff. We've drifted.
Do we? Can we just talk about versus?
Can we just do virtual versus battles in our head?
The last I heard was Kanye went to the hospital. There was an ambulance that came to his compound. He didn't get on the ambulance. He checked himself in the hospital, left like an hour later. And also, he apologized to Kim. Did not apologize to Chris.
Yeah.
So
you really hung up on, like, nobody's in Chris's corner. I'm concerned.
She nobody's is... No one is like, hey, what about this whole white supremacy thing? Nobody, the KKK has not said anything. The Q Anonymous people have not said anything. No one, the police have not said anything. No one has said anything about these accusations. They are just like, all right.
I feel like more people even care that he referenced her man as Kanye. That got probably more recognition.
That was hilarious. It's weird how funny he is, even with everything going on. Like, you know, knowing what we know is required for humor, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah. Even like at the rally when he was like the Malcolm X doors, it's like, it got a response. And it was like, oh, that's the most inappropriate thing to say.
Yeah,
but like, yeah. You know, it's
he finds a way to sneak those subtle references in there.
Yeah, and it's still in the music. It's still in the music. But
what was, I feel like the weirdest thing might have been how he said that he'd been trying to divorce Kim ever since her and Meek met up for what was it, prison reform, in the quotes.
Have you seen the pictures?
I have seen a picture. I've seen a rooftop.
A picture.
Looks like rooftop brunch.
A public brunch.
It's very public.
With Kim, Meek, and some lady. No offense.
I'm sure she's important.
Yeah, she's
important. No offense to that lady.
No offense to that lady. I don't know this lady. Sorry to that lady.
I'll tell you what. Given that he was referencing Chris like selling the sex tape and the Playboy stuff, I honestly think like that's just like peak insecurity right there. Because it makes no sense other than the fact that part of the whole allure, the beginning, even for Kanye to like Kim Kardashian, like you don't get that without like Playboy, the sex tape, all the stuff that's like out there that like makes her like who she is. And now he like is reverse using it against himself. He's using all that brought her fame. It's like a weird jealous. It makes no sense. It's like it's just strange. And to say it publicly, obviously everything he said publicly is strange, but it makes no sense to go there and just put like, now he's just adding characters to the fray who was like, I didn't even know I was involved in this.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been put out there that his introduction to her was the sex tape. So for him to later turn that into, like, the reason why he wants to divorce her is, you know, seems like a little backwards. Like, it's not like the tape came out before they were dating. The tape right. was out before they right. even met, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. he knew her as, like, hey, that's the girl from the tape, you know? And then in the same tweet that he's tweeting about Kim and meeting with Meek Mill, he says that Lil Baby is my favorite rapper and he won't even do a song with me. And then Lil Baby tweets, I didn't even know. No one told me. But a couple months ago, Lil Baby tweeted, I don't want anyone on my album that doesn't have a Lamborghini. And so we know that Kanye has, you know what I'm saying? If you watched Look Mom, I Can Fly, we see that he has a Lamborghini truck. You know, if you listen to Watch the Throne, white Lamborghini Countach, two of them, he says that. And, you know, Can't Tell Me Nothing video, we see the Lamborghini Countach. So he's qualified. He meets the requirements for some reason. He hasn't been selected.
Thank you for that reference, man. Oh, man.
Hey, man. Always.
Shout out to Zeke.
Shout out to Zeke.
Yeah, that's one of the best quotes of the quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's hard to see how this ends. I just think it ends poorly. Because to her credit, because I don't keep up with the Kardashians like you do, but I did see that Kim put out her own statement talking about what it's like to deal with when you have family.
Very responsible. I think there have been plenty of times where Kim has been tit for tat. And Kim has responded in a way that's like, you know, even though she might be older than the other party, but still kind of like catty. And this was not that at all. This was very like responsible. Like, you guys don't know what it's like. And she showed that side that, you know, we've only seen a few times publicly that I believe is there, where there's a lot going on to Kim, and she's very cognizant of the complexity of issues with Kanye, you know. Like, in his apology, he said, you know, I didn't cover her like she covers me. And I see that. I definitely see that. Not from the entire family, but definitely from Kim, you know. And I think the only other time I can really point to as an example is when she was on Watch What Happens Live, and it was the first time she was talking after the robbery, and, you know, talking about Kanye and like what was going on with him during the Pablo tour. I would also like to say that us as fans, you know, I think when you look back at it, the Pablo tour was super problematic. Being strapped to a stage without having a break might have like pushed Kanye's limits in a place where he was completely exhausted, you know? And I think we never like look at that as like, all right, you know, he pushed it to the limit, but, you know, breaks are necessary. You know, being able to breathe, being able to like, you know, drink some water, being able to use the bathroom is necessary. Like, I wasn't at the show, you were at the show, but like, was he really up there for like an hour and a half?
It's the whole show.
Or like 45? The whole show, he's just up there.
The stage moves. So it started at one end. He's strapped in and moving across the whole time. And was giving it like everything.
I feel like that's intense, you know?
I mean, obviously draining. I mean, I guess obviously it all ties into like when you start hearing the stories about like exhaustion, fatigue. Because remember, it was at first, before it even got to like, you know, mental illness, it was exhaustion. That's what it, that was That's the what story.
And I could see that totally, like night in and night out, with travel, with everything else. You know, everything else is going on. You know, I mean, you know, it's crazy. We talked about the West Day Ever last podcast, but no part of the West Day Ever was it like, how are you doing? You know, no part of the West Day Ever was also like, and I'm happy, and you know, I'm doing all right. You know, to me, that's the real West Day Ever.
I hear you. I think that somewhere in all of this is you're seeing someone who like all he knows is go, and all he knows is be busy, and like, what's the next thing? And what's the next thing I can do? What's the next bigger thing I can do? And I think that there's an interesting kind of parallel if you think of like someone, I'm not saying like, you know, mental health wise, but just like how they deal with like the people closest to them. You get like a comparison, like somebody like Steve Jobs, who's like someone Kanye references, you know, a lot, but that like go, go, go mentality, that like more like next thing, keep like all you know is work and busy and evolution. And like, I feel like sometimes that can be like a recipe to like push things away and end up a little bit more alone than you need to be. And that's what like, that's probably like the worst thing. Obviously there's the actual like topics that he's talking about in like the course, like quote unquote running for president and all that. But like, probably the worst thing is I feel like you're alienating clearly, like you're already alienating like a lot of your fan base. You know what I'm saying? You're alienating people who like ride with you from a fan standpoint. But like the stuff you're saying like now, I'm like, well, this is like stuff to be like family people like could be like, I don't fuck with you no more either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's real. And I think you know, the experience that I've had with people who are bipolar and manic depressant, you know, when they're going through mania, they feel like they can take on tasks that, you know, might be impossible. They feel like they can, you know, they lose kind of their sense of like, you know, what they can do, what is able for them. You know, I think that's expressed in Ye with like, I put my hand on the stove to see if I still bleed, you know, like I think that comes from that experience. And, you know, part of me thinks that some of this presidential campaign is that, you know, is an expression of that. And I think because of Trump, we are forced to take it seriously because we didn't take Trump seriously. So now we put ourselves in a position where even someone who hasn't done the work as far as even getting on the ballot, we are taking seriously, and they're oppressed there, and they're, you know, because we, you know, it's too dangerous to not. But, you know, the real difference, a lot of people compare Kanye to Trump, and I tweeted this, but the real difference is Trump knows his audience to a T. Trump used the early days of Twitter as a litmus test of what the type of people who would support him running for president, what their issues are, what they care about. You know, they care about illegal aliens. They care about, they hate Obama, the birther thing, you know, like those type of things. Right. And kind of use that so that when those people left a rally, they felt pumped up. And I feel like Kanye doesn't have a clue what the type of people who would support him even would want from a president, you know? And I think that, you know, we're in a weird place as a country where we have to, you know, we have to take all of this stuff into consideration. I mean, you know, like, Lil Uzi said he's running, but he's not old enough. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But
dodge that bullet. I think I think that Kanye knows one thing. And I think, like, if there's anything that the music does for a lot of people, and I think this is one thing he did say very well, where he said, like, you know, fans of mine are fans of themselves. He's like, he has, like, a way of making you, like, feel like a little bit more than you are, that you can do a little bit more. And I think that he's carried like a sentiment of feeling and the power of like that into a presidential campaign, and it's like, that's just not gonna fly, buddy. Like, you can have good sentiment and feel like, but like, that's not gonna feed poor people, you know, like it's just not. You can't just give everybody a copy of The Secret or some shit like that, just have people just believe themselves into a better life, because I get like, yeah, this is an American dream, but like, you know, this is also real life, and there's just too much important stuff going on. So,
yo, man said he was gonna give everybody that has a baby $1 million.
I mean, what a dream. I don't even like, I heard that, I was like, I don't even know what to do with this, man.
And I did the math, and it's very close to our military budget. That's the crazy thing.
That's incredibly sad.
Yeah. We spend so much on the military that we probably couldn't break everybody off with a milli, but we could, if we didn't spend, we could 50.
50?
We could definitely do 50. Sad, right?
That's incredibly sad.
Yeah. But I'm not saying defund the military. I'm not saying that, you know.
I mean, I am. Defund the military.
Wow.
You heard it here.
Somebody just watched The Five Bloods.
Oh, I have not seen The Five Bloods. You seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
As a big Delroy Lindo sweater enthusiast, I did need to check it out.
Yeah, man. It's a, you know, great review. Spiking it up.
Never heard your voice get that high, man.
Damn. You know, yeah, man.
Oh, man. All right, we got to start. We got to start wrapping this up.
We got a special guest on the Boogie Gay podcast.
That's right. We got somebody who was actually at the Kanye West rally in South Carolina. You guys might recognize it from a few videos gone viral. Let's check it out. I am the number one most. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation.